Shalom Aleichem. Today in Mishneh Yomi, we're wrapping up Chapter 7 of Zvachim, moving on to Chapter 8, Bezrat Hashem. Let's pick up in Chapter 7, Mishnah Vav. Malak, the Kohen performed Malika on one of the bird offerings, V'nimtza Trefa. When they opened up the bird, they found a pre-existing medical condition that would render it Trefa. For example, a hole in the lungs or a hole in the stomach. Rabbi Meir holds, Eina mitama does not bring impurity, bebeit habaliyah, if someone swallows the meat. Now, they're not supposed to eat the meat, it's forbidden to eat the meat, but it would not cause the person to become ritually impure. Rabbi Yehuda holds, mitama bebeit habaliyah, indeed, this bird carcass would transmit impurity if somebody swallows from it. Now, the Mishnah brings Rabbi Meir's explanation of why he holds that the Malika removes the problem of Tumah. Amar Rabbi Meir says, Ma im nivlat behema. What about the nevela, the carcass of a behema? She metama b'mago masa. That an animal, a behema, if it's not slaughtered through ritual slaughter, through shechita with the knife properly, then it brings Tumah by maga, by touching, but masa, by carrying it. So that's even worse than a bird, where nevela of a bird only causes tumah when swallowed. Shechitata, but slaughtering this animal, mitzaheret et trefata mitufmata. It removes the problem of ritual impurity, even if this animal was a trefa. So for example, a cow with a hole in the lungs, if it was shot, then it would be a nevela and cause tumah just by touching or carrying. But if the same cow with the hole in the lungs was slaughtered with a normal slaughter, you can't eat it because it has the trefa, the pre-existing medical condition, but it would not cause tumah from touching it. So Rabbi Meir compares nivlat of, but the carcass of a bird that was not slaughtered, she'ena matame magamasa, it does not transfer impurity just by touching or carrying it, only by swallowing. Eino din shetehe shechetata metaheret et trefata mitumata. Isn't it logical that slaughtering such a bird, even though it has a pre-existing trefa condition, would make it not capable of spreading tumah impurity? Now, of course, this is by shechita with a knife. So now Rabbi Meir explains why this works by malika also. Ma matzino, just like we find b'shechitata, through an act of slaughter with a knife, shehi machsharta be'achila, it allows a bird, normally, not an offering, but a normal bird, a chicken, to be eaten. Mitaheret et trefata mitumata, and it prevents a normal bird from a trefa from transmitting tuma, because once it's geshekted, it has proper shechita, it is not matame as nevela. So af milikata, so to performing malika in the temple with the thumbnail of the Kohen, she machsharta bechila, this allows offerings to be eaten by the chatas, eaten by the kohanim, by the ola, eaten by being burned on the mizbeach. Titachar trefata mitivata, so too it should prevent a bird offering that's a trefa from transferring tuma, because malika, he's saying, is the equivalent of shechita. And just like shechita for an animal, so malika on a bird would prevent it from transferring tuma. Now the Mishnah brings a third opinion, a compromise. Rabbi Yossi Omer Daya, it's enough, kenivlat behema, for a bird to be like the carcass of an animal. And just like an animal, shechitata, an act of slaughter, mitaharta, makes it purified, means it will not transfer tuma like a carcass, like a nevela, avolo milikata, but not a malika. So Rabbi Yossi's arguing, well, you're learning from animals to birds. By animals, using a knife and performing ritual slaughter, shechita, will remove the tumat nevela, the impurity of it being a carcass. However, there's no concept of malika by animals, only shechita. So if you're learning from animals, then daya, which is a word cognate to dayenu, it's enough that you learn out shechita, because that's what works by animals. But by malika, there's no such thing as a malika by animals, so you cannot prove that malika on birds will remove the problem of tumah. And the Bartnura says the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Great, let's go on to chapter 8. And now we're back to animals, and a problem that can happen if you have a lot of different types of offerings on the in the temple courtyard. What if they get mixed up? Kol ha-zvachim, any type of offering animal, and we're talking about living animals, shenet arvu b'chataut tomato, to get mixed, gets mixed up with one of the chataut that has to be left to die, chataut that cannot be used. For example, a vlad chataut, the baby of a chataut, the mother was supposed to be a chataut, or a tmura, one that was designated as a replacement for an existing chataut, or met, the owner died before it was brought, or nimsa, they went missing and they found it, but in the meantime, the owner designated a different animal, or avarshnato, it's over a year old. The chataut has to be brought in the first year of the animal's life. So these ones cannot be used if they're left to die, or bashora niskol, with an ox that needs to be stoned because the ox murdered somebody. Afilu achat baribu, even if there's one problematic animal, the chataut that has to die, or the shora niskol, it's asur behana, cannot be used at all. Even if only one of those is mixed with ribu, with 10,000 normal karbanot, yamutu chulam, none of them can be used, they all have to be left alone until they die by themselves. Now, the Mishnah brings cases where the problematic animal can't be used as an offering, but is not usur behana, like a shor haniskal. So we're going to see how to solve that problem. It arvu b'shor shenevda ba avera. If there were normal offerings and then an ox or any animal that was involved in an avera got mixed in. For example, osha hemit et adam, an ox that killed somebody, al pi eid echad, with only one witness. While piyabalim, or the owner, testified that the ox, the animal, had done this sin. Biroveya, an animal that was involved in bestiality, benirba, or was a person committed bestiality with this animal. Bemuksa, an animal that was set aside to become a karban for an avodah zarah, for an idol. Uvenevad, or an animal that was worshipped like an avodah zarah, like a pagan deity. Be'etnan, one that was paid, a harlot was paid with this animal. Mechir kalev, animal that was used to trade for or purchase a dog. Be'kilayim, a mixed breed animal. So a sheep and a goat are both kosher, but a sheep-goat hybrid is not. U'betreifa, an animal that's a treifa, or the child of a treifa mother. Be'yotze dofen, that means went out of the wall. That means the animal was a C-section. So all of these problematic animals, they can't be used as offerings, but they are mutter behana. You could sell them and use the money. So in this case, yiru achiestavu, all of the animals in the mixture are left to graze until they get a mum. And now that they have a mum, they're all disqualified, even the ones that were valid offerings before. Vayamachru, then sell the entire group. Vayavi, and then bring a new replacement offerings, bidmei hayafish behen, with the value of the most expensive animal, because after all, the most expensive animal could have been the one that was your offering, me'ot on the min, with the of the same species. So if it was a group of 10 animals and one of these problematic animals was mixed in, they would sell all 10 of them, and the most expensive one, they would use that money to bring the replacement offering. Finally, nit arv bechulin tmimim. If one offering animal got mixed up with chulin animals, animals that are regular, undesignated, not an offering, but they're tam, they're tmimim. They are eligible. Tam means no blemish. They are eligible to become an offering. So you have one offering sheep mixed with 10 sheep that are just normal, everyday sheep, you know, that have never been designated as a carbon. So now you machru a chulin, you could sell the entire amount of chulin, those 10 animals, letzriche oto hamin, to people who need sheep. So example, you find there was a carbon shlamim, it got mixed in with 10 other sheep. So you find 10 people who need to bring a shlamim, and you sell those 10 regular chulin sheep to those people who need shlamim, and either they all come as a group and bring all 11 sheep as a shlamim, or when they come and each one brings their shlamim, the Kohen says, well, whoever's the true owner, since we don't know which one was originally the shlamim that got mixed in with the chulin, this will count towards their carbon. And we'll see a similar case in tomorrow's learning as well. Yishar kochachem, tizku l'mitzvot.